Welcome to the Barons Hideout Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin.
And I'm your co-host, Dean, and we'd like to let you know where you can find us.
The best way to find our socials is on our link tree at the Barons Hideout, which has our Twitter, Instagram, and podcast links.
And you can find me on Instagram at Dean of the Dead Hot Sauce, on Facebook under Dean Sharp, and also my website, www.deanofthedead.com.
Lastly, if you wish to support us further, you can subscribe to our Patreon for $1 a month. Now, to the show.
I think so.
With Dustin from Flicks and Friends podcast.
So we are one
double
Dustin.
Dose of Dustin again.
Double D.
Hell yeah, dude.
That deep double D.
Hell yeah, man. It's always a pleasure having you on here. I mean, you're a good friend outside of this, and we chat regularly. But it's always awesome to have other friends and people in this podcast community that like the same things as you do. And I know recently I helped get you hooked up with some screeners for Screenbox. And we're going to be talking about one of those today. And it's Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls. Such a good film. Such a good film.
It was a fucking treat, man. Like it was a ton of fun. The comedy in it's really good. I love the practicals and makeup in this thing, man. It was so good. Very. I'm gonna say more or less original too. Like a lot of the stuff, like it's not like you see cartoons like this, not live action fucking prosthetics, which is really good.
Hell yeah. And I can't wait to jump into this, but before we start doing that, why don't you go and tell everybody for the fourth time, in case if people don't know who you are by now, which would be absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, what the heck?
Know where they can find you, what you're doing, and if you have anything coming up.
Yeah, man. So I'm Dustin. I'm one third of the Flicks and Friends podcast. We are a variety movie podcast, and each month we tend to theme the movies we watch, you know, so we kind of keep it relatively fresh by revolving that. And just recently we did 80s horror month, and we had Dustin on our show, and we covered Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which is by far the best Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie ever made. So, and that's just my hot take. we're on all social medias. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all under Flicks and Friends Podcast. I'm more or less active the most on Twitter, just because it's so readily available and I can instantly message right back and not have to switch between profiles on Instagram and all that shit. But we just like to talk movies. So it was a ton of fun.
Hell yeah, man. And you guys also have a Patreon as well, which I
really recommend
everybody go and subscribe to.
Yeah, we do a show on there called Check the Guide, where it's a TV-based show. We have a show called Big Screen or Home Stream, which I've actually done one with Dustin. We did Talk to Me on there. And it's when I go through editing and I delete a bunch of tangents and conversations, I'm like, why the fuck do I do that? Now I make outtake reels. And I just put all those outtakes on the Patreon. And that's all patreon.com/theflicksandfriendspodcast.
Hell yeah. And all these links will be down below as well. And a little bit before we start jumping into this, I'm trying to get more people aware of this, but I know a lot of people already are, is that I have another event coming up at the end of this month on November 30th, a week after Thanksgiving. Is me showing The Mean One with the director and producer in person. They're going to have a bunch of stuff there to sell and sign. I'm going to be having my poster made. I already have the images up online for everybody to go check it out. And that's going to be happening in Cinema Salem in Salem, Massachusetts, as always. And I'm looking really, really forward to that one. We're going to be kicking open the holiday season properly, in my opinion, with this one. So for everybody who's interested in that and you're local, or if you want to travel out, the tickets will be down below in the description, wherever you're watching or listening to this. But that's it for my little spiel right now. And we're going to jump right into Onyx Deferred Tortoise and the Talisman of Souls. I guess right off the bat, I'm very, very curious to see like your instant, like, I don't know, your instant thoughts on this. So before we start jumping into like spoilers or just anything about the film, like what would you say about this film right now for people to go and watch?
I would say it is a very good time. Like the story, it's a very good time. Like the story is, it's paced very well. The characters are very likable. You know, like I was introduced to Onyx the Fortuitous through TikTok. Like yeah. I seen a lot of his stuff there, and there's a few internet personas that I know that have like the same, the mannerisms, the delivery, but he,
I don't know,
he captivates me. Like it's weird, like it's funny, but if it's something I wish I got to experience in theaters like you did, it would have been fucking, I bet you'd have been a better time than I had last night.
Yeah, that's another thing that Screenbox has been doing lately, is they're kind of partnering up with theaters and Fathom Events, and for some of their big releases, they do like a one night only showing. It's one time slot, one night. And I went to this one when they did it, I think it was the beginning of this month or ending of last month. And the theater was packed. I went to go see, previously they did Shaky Shivers. They did a night of that, and there was maybe like 15 people in the audience, which is pretty sad because the movie was great. But to be there at like a full packed theater with this film, it was a blast. Everybody was laughing. There's a musical number in here too, so everybody was singing that. It was awesome. It was such a great time, and I wasn't sure when this was coming to Screenbox. I thought maybe it was just going to be next year because they didn't really announce like when the date was going to be. But no, we got it a lot sooner than I was expecting. It's coming on Screenbox November 14th, so next Tuesday. Yeah. It's gonna be a blast, man. It's gonna be a blast.
I feel like though, like this had more of a chance to thrive than Shaky Shivers did. Not that Shaky Shivers didn't thrive, but like this has outlets. Like people know this guy from YouTube.
Yeah,
you know, like it's he already has an audience like that. So, you know, that's awesome that your theater was packed, man. I just went when I seen Terrifier 2 when it re-released.
Yeah,
and there was like 8 of us. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it is what it is, but I mean, we were there. I got the poster. It's right there.
Yeah, I got mine in the other room too. I went to go see it. It was a blast, dude.
I had a lot more fun watching it in theaters than I did sitting at home.
Of course, because that's what these films are made for, and just films in general. It's for an audience. Yeah. So, like, I really commend Screenbox and Fathom Events for doing this to, you know, showcase these films, to give them a chance in the theaters, you know. Any time you can get into any theater, regardless if you have multiple time slots or if it's a one-day event, I feel like you're taking a big risk nowadays because of streaming and whatnot. So for them to highlight these creators and to give them more of a push for their stuff and even more revenue to help them create whatever's going to be coming after, I think is really, really awesome. And I want more of these events to happen.
Me too.
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah, hell yeah. Crap. Was there something I wanted to say before this? I don't think so. I thought I had something I wanted to say, but I guess we can jump right into this with the plot summary and then kind of dive into some of our favorite moments on this and just keep pushing this. So on IMDb, it reads, fledgling occultist Onyx and a group of worshippers attend a once-in-a-lifetime ritual at their idol Bartok the Great's mansion. Pretty brief, but that summons the whole thing.
It tells you everything you need.
Yep. And, oh, crap, I just lost a page. Oh, here we go. There actually is some ratings. Do you want to take a guess at what it's rated on IMDb? It has 395 reviews.
I'm going to say it's going to have like a 7.3.
7.2.
Oh, shit. Dude,
I was close. Holy shit, dude. What the fuck? Get out of here, man. Get out of here.
Nothing's pulled up. That's straight out the noggin.
And we actually have some Rotten Tomato reviews, too, if you want to take a shot at those.
65%.
Yeah, for the tomato meter, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, so certified fresh, baby. You know what else?
Not yet.
60, over 50 is
They're weird with that. Like, there's been so many things that went on there and it's not certified fresh. Like, their rating system's weird.
Yeah, I don't trust Rotten Tomatoes anyways. Unless it's because we do it under 10% month, then that's the only time I trust it. Because we pick shit that's zero, you know, so it's...
Hell yeah. And the audience score is actually 98%, which is pretty freaking awesome.
Oh, good. Good, good.
And their summary is pretty much the exact same. Yeah, so it was in theaters October 19th. That's when it was. Okay.
Okay.
And it's an hour and 50 minutes, which is, it's a little long, but it goes by really, really fast.
It does not overstay its welcome, though. Like, the pace is very good. Like, everything that happens in the movie happens for a reason, and you're along for the ride. Like, nothing feels like it's dragging.
Yeah, yeah. And we have some, you know, famous people in here that everybody's going to recognize. We got Barbara Crampton, who plays the mother, or Nancy. We have Jeffrey Combs, who plays Bartok the Great, which I think he nails every scene that he's in. Seeing Jeffrey Combs in like a really like crazy like role and with the makeup on, it was great.
When he's in the windbreaker suit.
Dude,
that they're fucking doing calisthenics. Or I'm out here doing Pilates.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny. And then we have Olivia Taylor Dudley, and then Andrew Bowser, who is the writer, director, and plays Onyx. And there's some, you know, other people in there, but those are pretty much the main ones. Other than some of the other main, was there four or five people? I think there's five people.
There's five, including Onyx. Yeah.
Yeah. So the movie is it's crazy, and also I really have to thank Screenbox, and I really hope you start getting these things too. Is that they sent me a bunch of like little goodies, like I have like a pin.
Yeah, that's rad, dude.
I don't know club, which I love. Like, I don't know,
dude. But that's what I dug about that shit, man. Is that they taught you why?
Yeah,
like it's like,
dude.
Man, and then it's like
that.
You wouldn't think
it'd
get that deep, you know? But it's like there's a reason why he fucking stutters or he talks the way he talks, you know? So we'll get to it though. I'm sure we'll get to it.
Hell yeah. But I'll let you take the floor for a little bit. Is there any scene like right off the bat that you want to highlight that really like stuck with you, or do you just want to kind of bounce around the whole film? I'll let you take the guide for right now since you're the guest today.
We can bounce around the whole film, dude, because there are a lot of things that I liked. There's a lot of like cliches that I enjoyed, like when they all handed over something personal.
Yeah.
And then they were all in return, they all got these necklaces. And that's the part I really liked the most is when he ripped his off, dude, and they're standing there talking to what's her name? Is it Angela, the first girl whose soul was taken?
Yeah.
And he goes, "Do you see regular Angela or ghoul Angela?"
Yes, dude.
That shit had me rolling, man, because, you know, I love stuff like that. Like there's a facade, you know, and just, you know, the secret passageways and shit like that. Like the whole haunted house feel to this movie was great.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah. And the film also like comes off almost like a comic book, which I really, really like as well because of how colorful it is and how like these scenes are, how characters are reacting and acting with each other. And how just like sporadic some of these moments are. It almost is like you're in like a weird fever dream, but I like that a lot.
So I think the reason they went with the color palette they did is the same exact reason why Clive Barker goes with his color palette is, again, we talked about Nightbreed, and that movie is over 30 years old, and look at how fucking well it holds up.
Yeah.
I think this movie is going to do the same thing, man. Like it was made for a modern audience, but the longevity of the effects, the lighting and everything in this movie are going to hold up for another 30 plus years.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, I love how the ghouls are like that particular green, you know, or, oh, what the fuck's his name? The demon they're trying to summon. It starts with an A. I know it.
I'm looking. Dude, there's so many weird things that happen in this. Oh my God, it's gonna come back to us. I can't find it.
They're summoning Abaddon.
Abaddon.
Abaddon, when they're doing that, when he's in the middle of his drunken dream, and Abaddon's at the ordering window, dude. And I love that puppet, man. And then
Marty's
that red to the blue of the screen. It's gonna hold up, man. And they made a really, really smart move by the color palettes they chose.
And another thing too is this movie was crowdfunded. This is a completely crowdfunded film.
And it doesn't look like, you know, I picked up my fucking video camera, walked around and made a movie, man. Like, it's produced. Like, it looks really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, they had enough money to essentially license a song, do a scene of it, and make that look so amazing. Like, everything in here it's eye candy. This is eye candy the movie, if I'm going to say that, because of just how great it is. And I'm expecting to see a ton of toys come out of this film, to be honest.
I can see it being another, either a sequel or if Screambox decides to pick it up and do like a TV show.
I would give me like eight episodes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Give me like 8 episodes of this series. You know, like, I want to see what other fucking shenanigans are in that spell book.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like the ending of this film too, it definitely leaves it open for a lot of crazy things to happen. A lot of crazy things. But yeah, the whole premise of this film is essentially Onyx. He lives a really shitty life, and like, you go through all that, and then he's on the computer, a very old computer. So I don't know, did they ever establish what year this was in? I want to say it had to have been like the 90s, because some of the technology that was being used, but I'm also not 100% sure.
I didn't happen to see, they didn't have cell phones.
Yeah, so it had to have been like 90s, early 2000s, I would think. I don't think the 80s, but maybe?
No, I wouldn't think the 80s, though. But it would easily be the 90s, early 90s.
I would say 90s, but I don't think they really established the year. But he's like on a computer, and he's entering these contests, and he has his persona, who's Onyx. He likes people to call him that, and he has his family. And he has a stepfather that he hates so much.
Why do you wear a suit when all you do is stay at home and sell cereal? The suit makes the man.
Yeah, man. It's really, really funny. And then he works this like dead-end job that's Marty's meat hut. And he's trying to be the best he can. And he doesn't even have the right name tag. It's McQuaid Dickberry.
Dude, and then there's... it's right here. Oh my God. Then there's Pussy Hound or but I like when he goes, wait a minute, how heavy is that tray? And you see that person just like waiting, he goes, you're one fry off, and fucking flicks a fry.
There's a lot of fantasy elements to this too, which I really, really like. I like when you can morph comedy, horror, and fantasy all into one. It blends so well. There's this one point where he's working, and like these, I guess, bullies that he knows, like they have this thing. It's like they can order like as much as they want, and they have like a certain time limit.
And if it's only on a certain day, it's only like on like a Tuesday. Like,
yeah,
it's this day you have to do this. So yeah, that's when he goes, when in doubt, skewer it out.
Yeah, dude.
Well, that comes into play later too. So it's it's a little foreshadowing. But I love when like that part. And those dickheads like pour the milkshake on his head, you know, burger him up. And he goes and he lays in his bed with all that shit still on him, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, fuck this, man. It's awful.
go tell Edna I quit. Edna. Pussy Hound just quit.
That's so good. There's so many great quotes in this film. Like, when you go to watch it, you're gonna be saying them for a week. That's what I did when I saw it. I just could not stop saying all these quotes. And the way that like Andrew like moves this character Onyx, and how he like talks, and just his mannerisms is so original. I don't really think of any other film that has like a quirky character like this, that's also somewhat confident, shy, and also lives an awful life like this. But finds a way to be in this weird fantasy world, and things are coming to life, and he has to battle demons and go through his inner thoughts and everything. Like, this movie, it just, like you said earlier, it just feels super original.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But they all get, he gets that super rad fucking invite. He wins the contest to his, to meet his Lord and Savior, Bartok Stanton. Yeah. I like when he shows up and you kind of get like the Avengers Assemble scene with like all of the other people there, dude. It was good, man. And then you meet V. What's her name?
It's Farrah. Farrah, right? The main one, right?
The girl, like his friend, like his first friend, the girl with the glasses.
Oh, Mac. Right? Yeah, I think. Is it Mac? We have Mac, Shelly, Mr. Duke, Jasminder.
Z. It's Jasmine. No, Jasminder is the tattoo artist.
But I think Mac goes by Z. I think, like, because, yeah, I think that's what it is. And then Farrah is, like, the assistant to Bartok.
Yeah. Yeah, the one that eventually, you know, gets the fucking hots for Onyx. And, yeah. But I like how we kind of get everyone's origin story too, man. Like, you know, the teacher guy kind of like gives his big speech, but then you have the stay-at-home mom who has a poem written about her origin story about her husband getting taken out by a drunk driver, and then she devotes her life to Satan.
Yeah, dude, that was crazy.
Fucking good, man. So fucking good. And then you get the tattoo artist who has been I'm a tattoo artist, but do not ask me how many tattoos I have. You see Onyx put his hand down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that's, you know, I mean, do you have tattoos?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I get asked a lot. They're like, hey, so how many do you have? I'm like, a lot. I don't know. what limb do you want to see?
Yeah. You know?
And then Onyx kind of tells his story. He goes, I got to, you know, what does he say? He goes, I got to drink enough wine to get the courage. And he goes, and then just his fucking swig.
Yeah, he has to go through his little lunchbox that he brings. He says, I have everything I need right in here. He's like,
yeah.
He's got little nips in there. It's so funny.
But it's not like he needed enough liquid courage to do that. He literally just opened up the lid and just put his tongue in the hole and then took it out. And that was enough wine for him to tell his origin story.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's good shit.
It really is. I really can't think off the top of my head right now, like, any weak point in this film, because
there's not.
It just like always ups itself as it's going forward. I mean, at times you think like, oh, I know where this is going, and at times you're probably going to be right. Like, yeah, it kind of goes the same trail as some other films, where you've seen enough movies where you know where things are going to lead, you know. But there's this one point, because I really don't want to spoil too much of this, but this happens pretty early on, is that Bartok isn't exactly who they think he is, and he has to essentially gather these souls and put them into this talisman. And even like on the poster and stuff, you see these people who look all green and weird, and he like zaps the souls out of them. And they turn into ghouls, but they're wearing these necklaces that allow them to be manipulated in a way, and they're drinking absinthe, which is also another way for them to be sort of manipulated. So early on, Onyx rips it off because he's just like, whatever. He had like an episode where he just didn't really care about anything. So now he's able to see these things as they are.
Yeah, it was when they went to a judging demon.
Yeah,
I like that. I like the design of that demon. Creature, the box demon. Yeah, I like the design of that little creature, man. And that's kind of when he stops giving a shit, because in the very first time, the very first dinner they all have together, he's the only one that doesn't drink the absinthe. And they're like, and Bartok, he's like, wait, why? And he goes, can't you just make him do it? He goes, no, they have to be fucking willing to drink this, you know? So he kind of starts throwing wrenches in the plan from the jump. You know, unintentionally, too. Like, it's just like, him, you know. So, but yeah, that's when he rips that shit off, dude. I really dug that. I dug that a lot. Whole thing. But when they're witnessing the first soul, when he goes to the painting and lifts up that piece, it's the fucking eye patch on the painting. It's not even the eye that's exposed. So, dude, I'm like, what was the point of lifting? Like, it's, don't wear an eye patch in the painting then.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing that's really, really funny, and this is actually in the trailer, so this isn't really spoiling anything, is like everybody is assigned like their own type of person that they are according to this book. So Farrah has to go around and like they have to sacrifice blood, and it goes into the book, and then, you know, one person's a witch, there's a werewolf, there's a queen,
a Viking.
Yep, a Viking, and then we have a virgin. I guess we all know who that is. And they're asking him, like, are you actually a virgin? He goes, no.
There was one time at the movie theater where so-and-so dropped a piece of popcorn on my pants, and they thought she gave me a hand job. She just couldn't find that piece of popcorn.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. And yeah. So, like, throughout the whole movie, he's, like, upset that he's a virgin. But then, you know, things start happening. They're aligned in a way to make him seem a lot better, and that he is a lot better than like, the role that he was given, essentially. And things start unwinding. It's just a super fun film all around. And I'm so excited for people to finally watch this on the 14th.
And that's actually another horror trope, to be honest. Like, the whole virgin thing is, like, the purity of them, you know? And the way they played it in this movie, it didn't make you think that, you know, 9 times out of 10, the survivor girl is a virgin.
Yeah.
You know, but in this one, it's like, well, it's Onyx. He's not the survivor girl. He's the fortuitous.
Yeah, the fortuitous one. There's no way he's the fortuitous one.
Wait a minute, Onyx. How did you introduce yourself to me?
Yeah, man. There's so much good shit in this film. I'm like scanning my brain to see if there's anything that doesn't like spoil or anything like super important, because I want some of these twists and turns to really like get you by surprise, because they kind of did for some of them.
Sure. I would just think like the practicals in it, man, like the puppets are amazing. The makeup's good. The pacing is just great. Like,
yeah,
like you said, there's nothing that happens in sequential order that makes you be like, all right, I'm ready for this part to fucking end. Cause it's not like everything that lays out has a reason for it to lay out.
Yeah.
And it just tells a really, really good story.
Yeah. And if you like movies that have, you know, wacky characters and weird storylines and weird backstories, this is a film you need to watch.
Yeah.
It, like you said earlier, like you got like, you know, the Marvel Avengers vibe when they're all lining up. And this technically is like a horror superhero film in a way, because of how Onyx is and like, what sure. happens at the end, you know, because there's a lot of things you can compare.
Yeah. He makes things meaty for you.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I love the sticker.
Dude, that's so fucking tight, man. That little guy was really cool too, man.
Yeah, that practical effect on him was awesome.
That puppet. Yeah, everything was just, again, it doesn't, for it being a crowdfunded movie, it just doesn't feel like it. Like, this is something I'd want to experience in theaters, you know. Like, I'm all about supporting indie horror, don't get me wrong. I'll watch somebody's phone made movie. Yeah. But this doesn't have that feeling, but knowing that it was, you know, crowdfunded is just fucking amazing.
Yeah, for sure. There was one thing, and this, like, this statement, and when people say this, it kind of grinds my gears a little bit, because I feel like the movie and the crowd who sees it determines that. But before this was released in theaters, I think there was a handful of people who were able to see it beforehand. And they were saying this is a cult classic film already. And I don't know, there's just something about when people are deciding if a film is a cult classic film before it's like even out or for people to see it. It kind of annoys me a little bit. Do you agree on that? Or are you kind of okay with that sentiment?
I can see why they say that, because this is a type of movie, man, that it's not like there's a huge fucking twist in it, like Sixth Sense or anything like that, that has a huge 180 in it. And you're like, all right, you can't go back and watch it again and be still be as entertained as you were the first time.
Yeah.
This one you can absolutely just throw on whenever, I feel.
Yeah.
But as for the cult classic status, I think Onyx will be more iconic than cult classic first.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to start seeing, not that you aren't, because not for nothing, dude. Like, the way he dresses in the movie is the way 90% of the people at fucking horror cons just dress.
Yeah.
You know, so, but then people are like, oh, you're dressed up as Onyx the Fortuitous, you know? Like, no, that's just what I wore today.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think cult classic yet. Could have a cult following, though.
See, I'm okay with that, but for labeling it as a cult classic before it's even out for a lot of eyes to see, and for the, you know, just the fans and movie watchers not deciding that, like, that's a thing that will happen over time. You can't just like set that like at sure. at the gate. That's just my stance on it. I know there's some people who think that's a hot take, but you know, that's just how it is. You know.
Yeah. You made things meaty.
Yeah. One thing that I really, really did like is at the end, during the credits, this isn't spoiling anything, is that there was actually like videos of like him, like from his TikToks and all these mm-hmm. other weird things that are happening. He put into the film as like Andrew in character as Onyx, and I thought it was hilarious. Like,
yeah,
there's like news stations.
No, and he's, like, yeah, at conventions and like, yeah,
like rock shows and stuff. It's really funny, man. Like, you need to search up this character online. It's on YouTube, TikTok. I'm pretty sure also on Instagram. But like, outside of this movie, if you want more Onyx, there's plenty of it. Plenty of it.
Yeah. There's plenty of him to go around.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess right now we can kind of go to our final ratings, unless there's anything else you wanted to touch on real quick. Up to you, man. You have anything else you want to say?
I would like to know eventually if there's going to be a physical media release of this, dude, because this is something I would like to tangibly hold in my hand.
And I really hope so.
I bet you there'd be a lot of cool fucking special features on it.
I can say I have a hunch that Alex, who's also a Broke Horror fan who does stuff with Winter Entertainment, I have a feeling if it's going to get any kind of physical, it might be going on VHS with Winter Entertainment, but we will see. I haven't been told anything. That's just my hunch, because I think there's been other Shudder and Screenbox titles that have made it over there. So I'm hoping outside of that, there's more for other people to grab as well. But yeah, dude, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So I guess I will give my thoughts on this and my rating, because it's such a fun film. It really is one of these movies you can just throw on and really like dip in and out if you're doing stuff around the house, and you could be like, oh, it's this scene. I love this scene. And you'll know where you are in the film. And there's a lot of rewatchability for it too, with the special effects, the coloring in this, the acting. It's just the humor. Delight all around, man. So I'm going to have to give this a fucking 10 out of 10. Like, hands down, dude, because a crowdfunded film, first of all, getting a release one night with Fathom Events through Screenbox and Bloody Disgusting, getting on Screenbox and being a character that has been, you know, made over, I think, a couple of years at least, and still have, like, a staying power, I think that's phenomenal. So, Andrew, you did a great job, man. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm going to echo that, man. Like, the humor will not outdate, I feel, because there's a lot of shit that happens in this movie that it's making fun of what's happening in the moment, not of the time.
Yeah.
And the practicals are amazing. The pacing is good. I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10 as well, man. I really had a good time watching it yesterday.
Yeah, man. I'm actually going to throw it on again after this.
Nice. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. So I can't wait for everybody to go watch this on November 14th and have a blast with this. Let us know down below when this comes out. This will be coming out the day before, so everybody can kind of get a taste on that. And let us know after you have listened or watched this and watched the film what you thought of it. I'd love to hear all your thoughts on it. But Screenbox, thank you guys so much for sending us some screeners on this, for doing the event. and just for putting out great fucking movies.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I guess one last thing, if you want to let everybody know again where they can find you and whatnot, and we will end it on there, man.
Sure. So we're on all platforms where you listen to your podcast minus YouTube, because I have a face for podcasting and I just only audio only, baby. Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher. Well, Stitcher's actually not a thing anymore. I'm lying.
Really?
It was like last month, October, is when they nixed Stitcher.
Oh.
Like gone, yeah. But we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all under Flicks and Friends Podcast. We do have a Patreon. It is patreon.com/flicksandfriends. And like I said, I'm very, very active on Twitter. And I'll talk about just about any movie. Paul will talk about just about any movie. It depends on the movie for Sean, you know. So we're very, very objective when it comes to movies, you know. Like I'll tell you if it's bad. I'll tell you if I loved it, you know. So yep. Stuff like that.
I mean, that's why what we do, you know, to give our opinions and also, I don't know, to let you know if something's good. We watch it for you.
Yeah,
so absolutely. You don't have to. but yeah, thank you guys so much for being here. Also, this would be coming out a day early, so it'll be coming out on Sunday on Patreon, Monday for everybody, and then the movie comes out the following day on Tuesday. So thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you, Dustin, for sacrificing your time.
Oh, no sacrifice here. To me, man. It was a fucking pleasure.
Hell yeah, dude. And I'm looking forward to getting you on future episodes and vice versa on your show.
Oh, vice versa, for sure. Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for being here. Stay scared, and we'll see you on the next one.
Later.